The following recording, Alabama 9, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Get Secure is copyright Douglas and Honorov, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in the newest area of the territory. She was very happy to start another new job, this time in North Square, near the Duke Street Tower. On her first morning, she washed her face, put on a plain white dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. The goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her. But Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon, Comma began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath, washed her, and laid her on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. The treatment was very expensive, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Tuskegee, Alabama, June 22, 1942, 1,000 years ago. And this was in Macon County, Alabama. Tuskegee is a very special town, I think. It's 98% African-American. Most of the African-American people there were people who were educated, who had professional careers. They were doctors, lawyers, teachers, nurses. One reason is that Tuskegee University was there starting in 1881, and the life of the black people in the town really centered around Tuskegee. The other thing is that we never had any industry of note there, so that unless you were maybe a farmer, there was nothing to do if you didn't go to school, you know, go to college. I'm talking about the period that I grew up in, you know, because I was in high school in the 50s and I went to college in the 60s, right? My family, my father came to the area in the 30s when he was 13 years old, and he was a country boy, came from Groveville, Alabama, and he came to Tuskegee to study at the institute at the time. You know, my mother came there in, I think, 39 as a nurse. And my father eventually worked at the Veterans Hospital there. My mother was working at the Veterans Hospital. That's how they met. I also went to Catholic school. All the schools were good, I think. But the Catholic school really was strong on teaching English and grammar. And Sister Clemenza was ferocious. And when I graduated from high school, I went to Butler University in Indianapolis because I wanted to become a dancer. And of course, and my parents said I had to go to college. They didn't care what I decided I wanted to do as long as I went to college. There was no opportunity to do that in Tuskegee. And you have to remember that this was in the 60s. Everything was segregated. And if there were opportunities anywhere around, I couldn't take advantage of them. I couldn't even come to Auburn because it was, you know, I was black. Couldn't come here. There were about 4 dance schools in the country, and I went to Butler University at the time. Now, that's in Indianapolis. But I do know that I was a dance major surrounded by a whole cadre of very artistic and highly articulate people. But when I left Butler, I went to New York. I'd already been to New York. I would go to New York in the summer to study dance. I was a little Southern girl going to New York, you know, when I was like 15, 16. I also went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania some of those summers. Now, you know, Pittsburgh's got it very distinct. But I, thank goodness, did not pick up any of their dialect. I never really liked that so much. So when I graduated from college, I went to New York City, and I was there just about a year, had my first professional experience, got sick and had to go home again. Got a job teaching dance while I was recovering. That was teaching dance in college at Howard University in Washington, D.C. So I was there for 5 years. And I traveled a lot. I left Howard to go to Boston to work. I worked at an art center there. And then I got the opportunity to go to Europe, to Brussels, Belgium, to dance with the Ballet of the 20th Century in Brussels. Now, that was my first trip to Europe. And then I got the opportunity to work on Broadway with, you know, Billy Wilson in Bubbling Brown Sugar. And we lived in you know, for like 6 weeks at a time in Chicago, in Toronto, in Philadelphia, in Washington, D.C., and then came back to Broadway. And then afterwards, I decided I wanted to come home again to Tuskegee because I wanted to start a theater company, and I wanted to make sure that other little African-American girls like myself would not necessarily have to go away to at least begin a professional career in theater or in dance. And I was thinking about a dance company, so I came home, and I began to work with the city of Tuskegee. They hired me to be director of cultural affairs, so I had a whole thing. I was teaching dance, plus I was dealing with the whole cultural affairs thing, you know. Anything that culturally related to, I mean, things like celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday, other cultural highlights in the community, celebrating the history of the community, plus doing this dance thing. See, I can wrap it up now. What were the greatest influences on my speech? I don't know. I think my teachers in grade school, my parents who insisted that I try to speak correct English. You see, as a black person, I can switch off. I can say, I ain't gonna do that. I don't know how to tell you. But sometimes when black people are together, we can speak in another tone, not necessarily bad English, but say another thing which involves a whole lot of colloquial things that you just don't say. And then I can switch off and talk another way. You know, I'm like a chameleon. What else? Dialects. I think that's enough about me.